Feels like an intermission we just had, doesn't it? How many times in nearly over 30-some years have you had a preacher you go back-to-back? As I look at what I had planned for this, I would have asked for it if I thought that far ahead. Those of you who weren't here, we talked about a question last night. Who are you? What's your reputation? What are you perceived as, and what do you wish to have? Tonight I'd like to ask, this morning, I want to ask another question. The answer to this question will determine the survival of your testimony. It will make a difference whether your ministry or even this church has longevity. You know, this is not eternal here. We see around a lot of places and places disappear. This building is built really nice for a shop, for a mechanic shop. How many churches you see that are now transformed into some other business? And I want to give a question this morning that the answer will determine whether we'll be here. Whether you'll be here. Whether the mission work will continue or just folds up. Makes it a pretty important question. Would you like to hear it?
Amen.
Look in John 6. Verse 60. John 6:60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" This is a hard saying, and who can hear it? The preceding this time and this message, Jesus had taught some real agreeable things. He started his ministry out like Sermon on the Mount, and he said such things as, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For they shall be comforted, and they shall inherit the earth. They shall be filled. They shall obtain mercy, and they shall see God." That's pretty agreeable. That's something that drawed multitudes. So much so that they were called disciples. They weren't just passerbys. They were called disciples. Then you have the miracles. His first miracle was a real crowd pleaser. He took just ordinary water and transformed it into fine wine. He'll be invited to every party. All of the healings, casting out of demons. Marvelous things they saw. It's a wonderful time. But starting here in the last part of John 6, he makes some statements that they had a hard time swallowing. You know what the message was? He said, "You have to eat my flesh and drink my blood." Now the Jewish customs, they wouldn't even eat pork. They wouldn't eat anything strangled because of the possibility that blood would be trapped in the meat. And now this one that they have followed wholeheartedly, even unto the desert, to be taught by him. They pushed around him to be close to him, to where he had to get out on the water and get away from them so that he could speak to them rather than being smothered by them. And now they come to a hard saying. And they didn't understand it. And it says, from 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Some of you may have just been saved for a short time, and praise the Lord for salvation.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord at your part, and it's been it was a glorious conversion. And it looks all positive to the natural man. I mean, man, my sins are forgiven and I'm going to heaven. But like I said the first time I preached, if the book was just about salvation, it'd be a very thin book. Because the majority of the Bible talks about us preparing ourselves to be testimonies and to be witnesses. And to do the work of the Lord and give a testimony that others would follow. He came across something that wasn't agreeable. Had any disagreeable things happen in your life, in your Christian life? Anything come up that, boy, now that's tough. Knowing the history of here and having our own history down there, of all the people that have come and gone, the church becomes a revolving door. It was a hard thing that they heard and they could not hear it. And they're not here. Many of them aren't even involved in anything remotely related to spiritual things, let alone involved in Christian work. If you haven't, my saved brother or sister, had a hard thing, you'll have one. There will something come up in the church, in your own personal life, that God's going to put His finger on and said, this has to change. This is not right. And you have to make the decision. Can I hear this thing? Or can I not? Well, I joined the many that said, I can't hear it. And walk no more with Him. In our mission work down in Mexico, we run into the hard sayings of people that are deeply rooted in a religious custom. One of the really tough things is their image worship, their Mary worship. It's one of the first things that they really confront. Their whole custom revolves around this. Their holidays, their everything is around the worship of Mary and the use of the images. And when they see salvation and they're enlightened and they come up, and then there's this hard saying, what are you going to do with your images? There's a few, praise God for the few, that say, I'll listen to that and I will react to that. Yeah. And we've had men and women take their idols off of their walls and take them out in the street and burn them. And we've had a countless number that wouldn't let go. That was that decision. That's too hard a saying. I'm not going to sell out to my religion and my beliefs for anything. Not even my own soul. It's a hard saying. They would not hear it. Leave your father and mother. Because of the custom, in almost every case that someone gets saved as a first generation Christian, he got to leave his father and mother. We could tell you countless stories where the parents would rather their son return to drugs and every kind of wickedness you can imagine than not worship the Virgin. Too hard a saying. Leave my father and mother? But God said, it's a hard saying. You all know Marco Chaitis. God bless with the son-in-law. He's one of the, maybe that many, men that I know that naturally care for the people. I asked him when I was thinking about this question. I said, what was the hard thing for you? He was 19 years old. He completed his 20th birthday just about the same day he got married there in Aguascalientes. And I asked him, what was the hardest thing? His mother was killed in an automobile accident when he was 2 years old. And they were a very devout family. His dad read the scriptures, the lectura, I guess what they call the lectura. Would they call them the scriptures? What they read, it was a twisted version of the Bible, so I don't really want to use the word scriptures. But he read that in the masses there in the cathedral on many occasions. Both Marco and his other younger brother were the altar boys. They were involved. And when the mother died, they set up a shrine, and for 20 years, they would go to the grave and have a mass. For 20 years, they idolized this woman, and he said, the hardest thing for me was the lie of religious redemption versus the reality of condemnation and judgment. Been lied to his whole life that his mother was not condemned. He said, that was the hardest one. That's a hard saying. My mother died in her sins and is not going to be in heaven. She's in hell. And that was his hard saying. How do you accept another doctrine that's putting your mother in hell? But we're talking about us. What's some of the hard sayings? Sometimes it's just so simple. Do not forsake yourself the gathering together as some have a custom. And you start harping on that, and you're going to lose a lot of people. Most people are satisfied with once a week if it doesn't interfere. God is looking for a lifestyle of His people that is revolved around the meeting of His church. Amen. That's what He demands. It's a hard saying. When we're down in Mexico, when these young men get saved, Sunday morning is the soccer day. They have their leagues, they have all their competitions, they live all week to go play soccer Sunday morning. These young men get saved, they got a hard decision. Praise the Lord, many have said, I'll be with God. And those that don't, never amount to anything in a spiritual manner. These hard sayings in every one of our lives. My personal hard one is love thine enemies. I got some. I gathered up a whole bunch of them this last couple of years. I got a bunch of enemies, and I wasn't kidding. I would buy the bullets if they would shoot each other. God says, love your enemies. That's a hard saying. I've struggled with it. But to pray for them, witness to them, try to save them. That was Romans. I should be giving you some verses here to Romans 12, 17 through 21. 2 Corinthians 2, 7. Forgive them. I can't forgive them. They took years of my work. That's hard. You got any enemies? But you know, loving your enemy might be easier than the next one. Love one another. How many people have got mad and split and left? God said, love one another. And yet, that's too hard a saying. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And you're not willing to forgive and love your brother? You'd rather split the thing down the middle and everybody go their own ways? What a question. Take up thy cross and follow Him. Ever sacrificed anything to do what the Lord wants done? Sadly to say, the majority of Christians in the world today are convenience Christians. I'll do what's convenient. I won't sacrifice. I won't suffer. I won't bear a cross. What I've got, I got extra. I'll give. What's left over? The other part of the Christians have to be enticed with all kinds of gimmicks. We made a trip out to see my daughter, my brother-in-law, and I don't know who all out east, and we went to one of those mega churches, five congregations at a time, one preacher and a screen that would not fit in three of these or four of these walls. So Susan thought we were watching the real guy live, and it was just a video. I don't know where this guy was, or if he even was preaching at that time. It was just a video of a prop. It was the saddest experience I had in a place called a church in my life. The young people's room looked like literally a disco with the blinking lights and the strobe. I don't think they use strobe lights anymore, but they had the same effect. And all the electric guitars it was a circus. God said some hard things about that type of thing. They won't hear it. They doing the work of the Lord? Not according to my Bible. Amen. We just read John 6, 66, 67, then they walked no more with Him. Verse 67 says, and then Jesus said unto them, the 12, will you also go away? Amen. It's a hard thing. There's hard things in every one of our lives. Will you also go away? Will this be the thing that rips it? Says, no more. I can't go another step. What's going to hold us here? Hold us together? Simon Peter had the answer. Look at 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Have you come to the point that there's no place else to go? That has to be a decision. There's no place else for me to go. And why? Because I love the words of eternal life. I don't love the world. I don't love my own reputation. It doesn't matter what people... I am going to do what makes sure that I hold tight to the words of eternal life. That's the only way. Who can hear it? Who can hear the hard words? Those that love eternal life more than carnal life. It's a simple answer. My carnal life says, I am going to hate my enemies. I'm not going to love that brother. I'm not going to make things right with that sister. But I love eternal life. I love those words. I love to be right with God. I'll humble myself. And I'll do the work of God. So as you ponder the question of last night about your reputation, add this one to it. Can you hear the hard words? Is the words of eternal life more important than anything else? Amen.